Good morning, River Church. I am so glad that you're here today, and I get to be the one that starts off a brand new series called Spiritual Disciplines. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to you guys and teaching and learning together about spiritual disciplines. What I want to ask you to do is to not tune me out because of the word discipline. That is something that my children would probably do, is just say, now I'm done. She said the word, I'm out. But I want to encourage you to stick with me because I want to just expand on this and teach on this and get us excited about where God wants to go with spiritual disciplines. So I was thinking about how to start this. I was thinking about how do I make this make sense in my own mind? And I was reminded of emotionally healthy spirituality. This is a course that is really important to the River Church, that it's something that we ask people to go through because we really believe in the transformation that can happen through emotionally healthy spirituality and discipleship. And at the end of EHS, they teach about something called the rule of life or the trellis. And essentially all it is it's a framework that we establish in order for something to grow in the direction that you want. All right. And the best thing that I can liken it to is when you're gardening and you want to grow something that has a vine and you want to direct where it's going and you direct how it's growing. And you, when you have that, I'm not a very good gardener. I've done it a little bit, but to be honest, I really don't garden a whole lot. But this is what I understand about this whole process. So that, you know, if you want to grow something like a tomato or you want to grow something like grapes, you put a trellis behind it or with it so that these things will grow up and around. And as they grow up and around and off the ground, their fruit just becomes better. It becomes bigger. It becomes sweeter. It becomes it has the ability to really grow into a healthy thing. And if you don't have a trellis, then these plants will just naturally start to grow along the ground and things will rot and they won't grow into a full great fruit. And the thing is that we're no different. We also grow, and that's inevitable. And where we grow, though, is up to us. Now I want to share with you a few verses that talk about growing. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Colossians 2, verse 7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. So cry out for this nourishment." So scripture tells us that not only will we grow, but it even tells us in what direction to grow in grace, in knowledge, in our foundation, in our faith, in our salvation. And it can be really frustrating when we hear these things and when we see these things and what this relationship with God offers us, things like purpose and hope and love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruit of the Spirit and identity and community and all of these things continue to be presented to us as this fruit of a relationship with God. But it's so frustrating when we hear all this, but we aren't experiencing it. When we are exploring this relationship with God and we come back and we are still feeling trapped by our anger and our shame and our bitterness and our jealousy and our fear. And Romans 12:2 says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But what does that actually look like? And how do we do this? That seems so, I don't know, if you're like me, it just seems so foreign. How do I actually renew my mind? And I will say that the first problem is that we try to do it ourselves, okay, by our own will. And what that is called is religion, is trying to bear our own fruit, trying to make something happen on the outside. And it doesn't work. And I can say that with confidence because that's what I do. I get so tempted and so derailed by being religious, by trying to make my outside look spiritual, trying to make my outside look like it has good fruit. The problem with that is that if you have one poke of your anger and your fear, well, all of that just spills out, because that's what's actually on the inside. And this outward display of fruit isn't changing the heart on the inside. And so what is on the inside is what will come out, especially under pressure or being poked. All that religion can do is clean up the outside temporarily. This is why Jesus kept challenging the religious leaders. This is why this was such a big thing when Jesus walked the earth, because he would go to the, he would challenge the Pharisees and say, you're a whitewashed tomb. You're a cup that is clean on the outside, but in the inside, it's filthy. And you can find all that in Matthew chapter 23. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they worked really hard to make the outside look good, but they lacked the transformation on the inside. And real heart transformation only comes from an encounter with the living God. This is why the people that Jesus encountered, that things changed inside of them. They were not only just healed on the outside, but they were forgiven on the inside. And their lives were radically transformed because they had an encounter with the living God. And they weren't just so focused on this outside, this exterior look of being a faithful follower of God. So how do we do this? Well, setting up this trellis really involves exploring and using these things that I'm teaching about, which is the spiritual disciplines. These spiritual disciplines, in and of themselves, just like a trellis, they don't produce fruit. They just are the pathway for spiritual growth. They help lift us up and grow us in the direction that we want to go. Like we talked about earlier, growing in our faith and our foundation and our salvation. These spiritual disciplines are the means by which we can encounter God's grace and his presence and his transformational power. It's literally positioning us, our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit. They're positioning us to receive the grace and power from God. It's growing us in a certain direction towards a closer relationship with God. They're not a checklist. That's what I get tempted by. Well, if I do this, if I read the word, if I pray this many minutes, this is where my religious spirit, my religious struggle. I have said this often, that I am a recovering Pharisee. I am one that has lived my life fully as a Pharisee of just trying to make the outside look good, but I'm wanting to be free from that. I'm wanting to quote unquote recover from that, but it's still something that I fall into with checklists and disciplines. And if I do these things, this is going to be good. Excuse me. And I want to be free from that, because these disciplines are really all about setting me up and bringing me and enabling me to position myself to be in the presence of God and receive his grace and transformational power. These spiritual disciplines are an invitation to an interactive relationship with Christ, not a passive observer, but a true walking with and in relationship with Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in The Cost of Discipleship that grace is free, but it isn't cheap. Meaning God freely gives us his grace. He freely gives us salvation. He freely gives us righteousness and all these fruit of the Spirit, but it's not cheap, because it will cost us something. More often than not, it costs us our pride and our willingness to say, I need you, Lord. But it also costs us our time and our effort. And I need you to understand that the opposite of grace is works, is saying I have to earn this. And that is never said in the Bible that we have to earn any of it. But it does say that we have to work out our salvation, that we have to take and invest our time and our effort and our purpose, be purposeful in cultivating and receiving this grace, that it is a mutual participation. God gives and we receive. Spiritual disciplines position, like I said, position our minds and bodies and souls to receive this. And it's like being on the, like a fruit on the, or a vine on the trellis that is receiving sunshine and nutrients and rain, that all of those things are helping to make it grow. But the trellis is putting it in a position to receive all of that. Or it's like what Nick talked about a few weeks ago about preparing the soil. He said, God's seed is always good. And it will bear fruit, but it really depends on what kind of soil the seed is planted in. And it's my responsibility, as Mark shared, that it's my responsibility to cultivate the soil. It's my responsibility to make it in a place where this seed can actually grow and bear fruit. And spiritual disciplines are just the tool, the pathway, the means to help us along this journey so that we can experience this transformational growth. Spiritual disciplines are a slow practice. Okay, they aren't just good ideas that we're going to learn about. They are things, they are meant to practice them, to do them, to walk them out. And like I said, they're part of this interactive relationship with God. Spiritual disciplines always involve scripture, and they invite us to go beyond the superficial into a deeper place. Some people may be satisfied with the superficial relationship with God, but my hope is that we would be thirsty and hungry for a deeper relationship that is we see love and joy and community and purpose lived out in others, that we would be drawn to experience that for ourselves. This spiritual disciplines aren't for monks or spiritual giants or people that have been a believer for a really long time, or even people that know the Bible inside and out and they just intimidate you. This is for all of them, but it is for anybody and everybody. Spiritual disciplines are for anybody who is thirsty for a deeper relationship for God. The only requirement is this heart that says, I want to know God more. I want to be changed by him. In Psalm 42, it says in verses 1 and 2, it says, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. And in verse 7, it says, my deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. Have you ever heard the term deep calls to deep? There's something in each one of us that is craving and hungering and thirsting for a deep relationship with God, and that we learn as we walk out this life with Jesus that the superficial life is just not doing it. It's not working anymore. That it might have worked for a while, but then we face something that's really challenging, you know, like a pandemic or something like that. And we find that the superficial thing is just not sustaining us, that there is more that I need. There is more that I want. So I want to ask you, are you ready to join us in as we learn how to build the trellis, as we learn what all of these different pieces are, all of these spiritual disciplines that God wants to open up and reveal to us and invite us to participate in so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And I had the privilege of starting with our first spiritual discipline. And this one is actually really impactful for me and one that I jumped on right away, because in the last couple of years, this has become more a part of my own spiritual journey and something that God had specifically said to me. I've been struggling with some health issues. And when I was crying out to God saying, what do you want me to do? He gave me three instructions. And one of them was this discipline. He says, Jill, I want you to learn how to meditate. And honestly, the word meditate has had so many different, you know, connotations for me. And so I want to ask you to allow me to expand on this, okay? Because I think that the word meditate is something that the world has stolen, that the enemy has shifted. And I want to go back to what God has said about meditation, to not reject it based on what we think we know about it, but to come with a curiosity to say, well, what is the spiritual discipline of meditation? What is it? What is it not? How can God use this ancient practice, you know, that we hear monks meditating? How does God want to use this ancient practice to grow and transform us? So the devil majors in, I thought this was an interesting quote, the devil majors in noise, hurry, and crowds. Carl Jung said, hurry is not of the devil. It is the devil. I have the desire, and especially as God has been taking me on this journey of meditation, I have the desire to leave the superficial noise and confusion of this world, that I can feel tangled. I can feel tangled and intertwined with the yuck of this world. And I really long to be detached from that. Like I long to step away from the noise. I step away from the crowd, step away from this hurry, the sound bites of our culture, the social media and the distraction of so many opinions and so many conversations. And honestly, I feel this deep cry to stop and to listen. And in order to do this, I have to slow way down. I have to go into this inner world and experience the transformation from the inside. I have to stop the hurry of trying to, and the busyness of trying to look like I like I understand what I'm doing, that I always get it, that I'm a good Christian, that I'm a good servant, that I'm a good friend, that I'm a good whatever. I have to be able to detach myself from all of the shoulds that I put on myself and say, what is it, God, that you are actually speaking to me deep inside that will truly transform me? So the Bible uses two different Hebrew words to convey meditation. I'm not going to say what they are because I don't want that's that's not necessarily where I want to go at this moment, but I want to tell you what the definitions are. So these two Hebrew words that they use back and forth for meditation, they get translated into things like listening to God's word, reflecting on God's word, rehearsing God's deeds, ruminating on God's law, and other things. So all of these reflections, all of these words for meditating, bring us back to the very simple definition of listening to God's word and obeying it. That is what meditation is. It's simply listening to God and obeying Him. Changed behavior. In Psalm 119, verse 97, Psalm 119, very long chapter, but it has a lot in there about meditation and God's law and how it brings us life. And in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." In 101 and 102, it says, "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me." And in verse 148, it says, "My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises." It even goes back into Genesis 24, verse 63, where Isaac, it says, he went out in the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. This is how he met his wife. In Psalm 1, it doesn't say this in verse 2 specifically, but in verse 1, it talks about blessed is the man, and it gives a description. And in verse 2, it says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." Blessed is the man or woman who meditates on the law day and night. What is transformational about knowing God's law, knowing God's word, having it do something deep in our hearts? Throughout scripture, you have Eli teaching Samuel the importance of listening. You have Elijah, who spent time in the wilderness learning to hear the still small voice. Excuse me. You have David, who meditated on the law and wrote these psalms. You have Isaiah, who saw the Lord high and lifted up and heard the voice of the Lord say, "Who am I going to send? Who shall I send?" You have Jeremiah, who heard the voice of the Lord, and it says it burned within him. And I have references to all of these scriptures in my notes. And so why were they able to hear God's voice? Did they hear it because they had these special hearing abilities? What was it about these great men of God that had this special relationship, this ability to hear God's voice and to obey? It was because that they were close to the heart of God, and it's because they positioned themselves to hear him. They positioned themselves. This is the trellis again. It's the rule of life. They positioned themselves so that they could be open to the grace and the transformational power of God. And Jesus was the same. Our example, he positioned himself throughout scripture to hear from God. And then he was led completely by that voice, that he took what he heard from God and then he lived that. He said, "I don't do anything that the Father hasn't told me to do." So why would we try to do the same? Why would we try to just transform from the outside instead of abiding in him and really hearing and positioning ourselves close to the heart of God to hear what he has to say to us? This is It's vital to our relationship because his word is our guide. And his word is what we have right now to listen to meditate on, to know, to understand, and be transformed by. And honestly, humans seem to be very content to have others speak to God on our behalf. You know, you have the Israelites and Moses, and the Israelites like demanded that Moses go up on the mountain and meet God face to face because they were terrified of him. You have the Israelites who demanded to have a king instead of to have the prophets continue to speak to them from God. That all the way up into having Catholic priests speaking and hearing and forgiving on behalf of God. And honestly, this still perpetuates our culture in places where we have people that will come to church, hear a great message, hopefully hear a great message, and then go home and not speak to God for 6 days. That we're satisfied by somebody else speaking to God on our behalf and telling us what God says as a general rule, instead of being willing to go up the mountain ourselves and say, no, I want to hear what you have to say for me very specifically today. It's not enough to live on what others experience from God. It's a great start. It's a great direction. And we hope and pray that what we speak to you every week is encouraging you to go home and work on and put effort into your own personal relationship with God, because there is nothing like hearing the voice of God for ourselves. It really, truly is transformational, which is why I think that the reason we are resistant to it is because God's presence changes us. You can't go into the presence of God without coming out changed and different. And change requires effort. And we don't always like that, especially if we're comfortable with where we're at. Especially if we're comfortable and we don't want to hear that something we might be thinking or doing or feeling is either wrong or actually doing more damage to us. Change can be really scary. And yes, meditating and positioning ourselves to be in the presence of God will require that effort, and it will very possibly require us to do some change and thinking. But the grace and the beauty of this is that God does it with us, that we don't have to work harder to become kinder. We don't have to work harder to become more peaceful. We can just put our effort and our time into spending one-on-one time with God and really listening to his heart. Meditation calls us to boldly go into the presence of God. And I want to remind you that grace is free, but it isn't cheap. It is something that will cost us. And what you might know about meditation, you've probably heard most likely from the Eastern religions that talk about meditation. And you might have heard that it consists of emptying your mind and detaching yourself from this world and just removing yourself into this Zen place, this quiet place. But the problem of this, the danger of this detachment from this world, is that as we detach, we are truly desiring an attachment to something. And if we're not attaching to God, what are we attaching to? We have it's dangerous because we lose things like our identity and our purpose when we just try to remove ourselves completely from this place. And your spirit is crying out to be attached to something. And your spirit cries out to be attached to the God of the universe, the God that created you. Detachment is not enough. And that is where most Eastern meditation just leaves you, is just detached away. But Christian meditation does involve this detaching from the confusion and the noise of the world. But it's in order to have a greater attachment to God. I kind of picture it as like the peeling away from the distraction, the noise, the hurry. And it is positioning me into a place to say, now I can hear you, God. Now I can hear you as I have separated myself from this confusion and from this noise. I can enter into the presence of God and hear this and hear what he has to say so that I can enter back into this world with greater insight, with greater revelation, with greater perspective. It's like he removes us, he lifts us above the weeds. When we are living in this world, it feels very much like we are just surrounded by this noise and the chaos, and we're in this in the middle of this. And I remember when God kind of showed me this picture when I was hiking one day. I hiked up, I think it was Smelter, and you leave this place that you are familiar with and you know, and you go up to this greater perspective, and all of a sudden you're looking down on all the cars and all the buildings, and you think, oh, it's different up here. I now see how more things fit together. And truly, that's what Christian meditation can help with, is that it's pulling you out of that place, and it's helping you to see a greater perspective, God's perspective. It's helping for me, it's God saying, hey, I know that this is the noise that you've heard, but I want you to come away with me because I want to pour out who you are. I want to show you how I created you to be. I want this intimate relationship with you. And it's transformational. It's transformational. Meditation is learning to hear a shepherd's voice. It's growing in this familiar relationship with our Savior and our King. It's truly working on, and I thought this was interesting, it's truly working on and constructing this portable sanctuary that we have. It says, the scripture says that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us. But how much time have we taken to work on this portable sanctuary where the Spirit of the living God is living inside of us? And we focus so much on what's happening out here. And truly, if you're like me, not enough in just sitting with the Spirit that's living within me and saying, what do you have for me? What is this quiet voice telling me? Have we stopped and listened to this inward relationship? Have we developed this inward life? Because as we do that, it will eventually display fruit on the outside. It has to. This is part of the good seed. The good seed's been planted in me. If I'm cultivating that seed, then eventually that fruit will come out. And it takes the thought of we have to be kind. If I'm a good Christian, I have to be kind. It takes it from that language to I want to be kind. And I am kind. That is what comes out and bubbles out and flows from me as I've allowed this transformational work inside of me. So now I want to get really practical with you. And because I am one that needs, well, how do you do this? Like, what does it look like to sit and meditate? Because all I have in my head is the things that I've heard from this Eastern meditation, you know, and I want to impart to you some ways to practically do it. And the first thing that's actually really important is we need to sanctify our imagination. Understand that as we submit our imagination, our creative thinking, when we submit that to the God who created that, to the God who gave it to us, he gets to use it for his glory. He gets to use it to reveal things to us, to heal us. I want to give you permission and say that it's actually okay to dream with God, to see things in a different way inside this gift that he's given you of imagination. Do I understand that the imagination can be used for not good things? Yep, totally understand that. But if we start a time of meditation with the Lord and say, God, I submit my thinking, I submit my creativity and my imagination to your Spirit for you to show and reveal and heal, he will do it. He will do it because of his great love and because this is his invitation into this interactive relationship with him. Understand that to truly learn how to meditate is to actually do it. That I'm going to give you all of these practical tips, but honestly, they will only lead to transformation as you do them, as you walk them out, and as you practice it. Probably the first time that you do this, like myself, and even after 2 years of trying to do this, I still can get distracted and get bored and fall asleep and all of these things. So it's definitely not something that you arrive at. It's just something that you continue to practice. And I've seen God do stuff in me as I've done this. But I want to ask you to purpose to not give up and purpose to continue to let it grow in you. Purpose to learn from it. Enter into this time of meditation with him and say, God, I am here to listen. I am here to hear. I am here to grow. I'm here to learn. I'm here to mess up, probably, but I know that you are doing a work with me, because it's going to cost my effort, it's going to cost my time, and it will require your faith to say, I believe that you're doing this in me, even if I don't see the fruit right away. The third thing is some very practical tips, like uber practical, like physically, how do you do this? And for me, the few things that have helped are to very practically to set aside a time to do it. Because if you just say, sometime today I'll practice meditation when I feel like it, chances are really good that you're not going to do it, because you're going to get busy. Remember, busy, hurried, noise, all that stuff. So to say, I'm going to start it, you know, at a certain time. I'll do it at lunchtime. I'll do it before I get ready for work. I'll do whatever that looks like. It's purpose of time. And set it aside for, to the best of your ability, for it to be uninterrupted. And start with a timer. If you just sit with this thought of, I'm just going to do it until I'm done, you're going to continue to look at your watch, because you're going to be worried that you're going to miss something or whatever. And so what I do is I say, all right, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes, or I'm going to do this for 10 minutes. And I set my timer and I just know, and then can relax and think, it'll go off when it's done, and I can focus this 5 minutes, this 2 minutes, whatever it is that you pick to set aside. I could focus this time to just position myself to hear and to listen. And then, this is something else I've had to learn the hard way. You have to position your body in a way that's going to receive, because it is about your mind and your heart. But how many of you know that if you decide to lay down while you're praying, or lay down when you're listening to something, you're less likely to actually receive what they're saying, because if you're tired, you'll just fall asleep. So for me, it's about sitting comfortably in a chair, but not curling up so comfortably that I get distracted by that and my feelings of tiredness. So it's sitting comfortably in a chair, and honestly, it's just resting my hands in my lap, just ready to ask God. It could also be kneeling, if that's something that'll help keep your mind focused. Truly, it isn't, again, these are just tips. They're not necessarily have-tos, but it's something that as you practice, you're going to learn the best way that you're going to hear from God. If it's sitting comfortably, do that. If it's kneeling, do that. If you are one of the few that can do it while you're laying down, great, more power to you. I just know that it doesn't work for me. And go to someplace quiet and or peaceful, because I say quiet in that it's really hard to be void of all noise. But oftentimes, and lately, especially because I was like, I'm preaching on this, I gotta keep practicing this very specifically, I've gone onto my back deck in the morning. It's not quiet on my back deck. It is quiet from the noise of my house and the noise of my family and talking and music and whatever else. But I go on my back deck and it's the sound. I can hear the highway in the distance, but I can also hear the birds chirping and the wind blowing, and it's a peaceful quiet. It's a different quiet. And then when you've positioned and done all of these things, then there's a few ways that you can do it. And I want to give you these suggestions for ways that you can practice meditation. And these are all in my notes, so you can refer back to them. But one of the ways is to think about scripture. And it's a short passage of scripture. I get tempted to want to consume as much scripture as possible and just be like, oh yeah, I read the whole book of Matthew in a week, and that's great. But God is, but in order for the meditation and the sinking in to happen, we slow down and we read a short passage of scripture, and we repeat it over and over and over, and we think about what that means, and think about what it means to you, because this is a personal word from our personal God who says, I got something specifically for you. So an example is I did this with the word peace, and I just thought, God saying to me, I want to give you my peace. And so I just said, you're giving me your peace. You're giving me your peace. What does it mean for you to give it? What does it mean for me to receive it? What does it mean to experience peace, to put it on like a cloak, to calm my mind, to calm my heart, to calm my stomach, to calm the tension? What does peace feel like? What does peace look like? And this is where my imagination works, as I picture peace just like dripping down me like oil, and how that affects each part of me. That is what it means to like enter into scripture. The other way you can do it with scripture is to imagine yourself in the narrative, to read a story like Jesus being baptized in the Jordan and say, what would it be like if I was sitting on the bank of the Jordan watching Jesus be baptized? What would I think? What would I feel? What would I do when I saw a spirit of God descend like a dove and say, this is my son in whom I'm pleased? Like, what would be my reaction be? The scripture isn't meant for us to just passively read. It's an invitation for us to be involved in. This is a story about us, with us. What would my emotions be like? What would my thoughts be like? How would I interact with Jesus on this level? This is part of meditation. Another way to meditate is to think about creation. I love this one too. To stop and really focus on God's creation. Look at a leaf. What does it say about God? Look at the details. Look at the beauty. Look at a flower. What is this telling me about the beauty of God, about the face of God? How does creation work to display the glory of God? What is this ant doing? What does that teach me about God? To sit and stop and really think and look at the creation and hear God speak to you through that. Another form of meditation is to contemplate events through the lens of God, which is very appropriate for the season that we're in right now. It's taking the events of our time, the pandemic, racial injustice, taking these events before God and asking him for his prophetic insight into it. Asking him, God, what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? What are your emotions about this? Is he mad? Is he sad? Is he indifferent? No, he's not. I'll tell you that. But ask him those questions. How do you feel about this? And then, therefore, what does this mean for me? How does that translate into what you want me to do about this? How do you want me to speak on your behalf about these things? Don't just answer it thinking you know exactly what God would say. I challenge you to posture yourselves to sit and listen and say, God, what do you think about racial injustice? What is your heart for the people that are hurting right now? He can guide you, and he will guide you, and he will speak, and he will reveal if we are listening. The thing about meditation and our imagination is that everything will line up with scripture. That is the truth, and that is the thing that we can cling to no matter what. And I want to remind you that meditation isn't the only spiritual discipline that we're going to talk about. It's just one. And it will be intertwined and in partnership with so many of the other ones that we're going to speak about. But it's a vital piece that that will be used alongside the other ones as a pathway to transformation and a pathway to a closer relationship with God. And over the next 11 weeks, we're going to be teaching on things like prayer and solitude and fasting and service and submission and all of these other things that God is going to, God is inviting us to a relationship with him that will allow us to grow into a deeper level, to go beyond the superficial and position ourselves to the heart of God. And so would you be willing to, in this next week, set aside some time and practice this one discipline. And as we add disciplines to this, we'll begin to add to the practice, but let's start somewhere. If you've never meditated before, maybe take one day this week and set your timer for 2 minutes. Because I know that when you've never done it, 2 minutes feels like forever to just quiet your mind. And it will be hard, but don't give up. Again, purpose to grow, purpose to learn, and purpose to practice. And see what happens over the next week. I'll tell you that I have done it for 5 minutes. And when my timer goes off, I'm like, oh, that wasn't enough time. And so I'll hit repeat and start it again because I just have loved spending that time quietly with the Lord. So would you go on this journey with us? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you don't just leave us to figure out this life on our own, that you've invited us into relationship to hear your heart, to hear your emotion, to hear your thoughts, not only about this world, but about us very specifically. God, thank you for showing us the ways that we can position ourselves. Thank you for your word that says we can meditate on it day and night, and we will be blessed and we will be changed. Thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to partner with you, to work on the soil, to cultivate the soil, to set up this trellis, to bear great fruit, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what you have done and what you are doing. Lord, may we come alongside. May we accept this invitation and may we meet with you in this secret place. We love you, Lord, and we can't wait to see and be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, wasn't that good? I mean, it's amazing to me how the enemy takes something that God intended for us to reflect on Him and take that and skew it so much. Meditation is a great practice to learn, and I just want to encourage you, as Jill has encouraged you today, to step out and discover this discipline of meditation. Are you willing today to explore that? Ultimately, all of these disciplines help us to engage to a greater level in relationship with the Lord. Andy is going to be talking next week on prayer. And like I just said, this whole series is going to talk about and encourage us and show us how we can go deeper, engage greater in this relationship with the Lord. So I hope that you stay engaged with us as we walk through these spiritual disciplines in this series coming up. I want to close by just saying that if you have prayer requests for us this morning, would you please comment in the space below on Facebook Live or on YouTube? Let us know how we can pray with you. And if you don't want to comment there, but you still would like prayer, you can always call us at 247-7777, area code 970, and leave a message there, and we'll get back to you and pray with you. Or you can just send us an email at office@trcdurango.com, and we'll get that, and we'll contact you and pray with you. We just want to continue to engage in conversation, engage in prayer, and continue to walk out and help you walk out this relationship with the Lord. It's so important to us. Also, just to close, are you willing today to step into this relationship? Are you willing today, if you've never given your life to the Lord, if you've never prayed a prayer or decided in your heart or that you want to follow the Lord in your life, and you're seeing something, you're feeling something today that says, I want to leave my old life behind. I want to make a U-turn, a 180, and I want to start following after God and just let that stuff go. If you're in a place today where you want to do that, would you also comment? We want to celebrate with you. We want to talk with you. We want to pray with you. And we want to help you on this new journey in relationship with Jesus. So would you this morning, if you want to give your life to Jesus, please communicate with us that you want to do that. We're so glad that you've joined us here today with Jill and with the worship team. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being a part of the River Church, and thank you for joining us at TRC Online. We hope that you will continue to practice this discipline of meditation throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. Have a great rest of your Father's Day. We'll see you.